Jayate. Thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association. That sounds pretty nice. Thus the knot in the heart is pierced, and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive actions is terminated when one sees the self as master. Certainly, therefore, since time immemorial, all transcendentalists have been rendering devotional service to Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead, with great delight, because such devotional service is enlivening to the self. This message, enlivening Jinatma supersedati, here's Atma Prasadanim. It's a theme message from the second chapter. Becoming enlivened in the self. It indicates Hari Hari. It indicates spiritual happiness. And spiritual happiness is where material contact is. We're in the material atmosphere, but material contact is slackened because of directing consciousness to the Supreme. And so the noise and the disturbances of the material energy upon one's consciousness is gone. That's the enlivened in the self state. It's the transcendental state. The medium is devotional service. The transcendental personality of Godhead is indirectly associated with the three modes of material nature, namely passion, goodness, and ignorance, and just for the material world's creation, maintenance, and destruction. He accepts the three qualitative forms of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. Of these three, all human beings can derive ultimate benefit from Vishnu, the form of the quality of goodness. That's 23. That's the last one we did. This verse is it gives a hint at the coming chapters. It's in the coming chapter 3 for the incarnations of the Lord, and the qualitative guna avatars of the Lord are described, the forms of the Lord in this world, because that's one of the questions of the sages. It's like a bridge verse connecting the message of chapter 2 with the message of chapter 3. Message of chapter 3 is the incarnations. Message of chapter 2 is largely the process of devotional service. The Lord accepts these forms for the maintenance, creation, and destruction of the universe. Someone asked in a very, not challenging way, not attached way, but trying to understand way, why recently. Why so much emphasis on Krishna worship, Vishnu worship. After all these other forms of worship, they come from God also. And while they may not be, you know, the ultimate, if there's upliftment and benefit, why all this one thing only? A classic kind of question, and this verse explains or responds to it very nicely. The ultimate good can be achieved by worship of Vishnu and not otherwise, not the other. So, while other forms of worship may be, may bring some benefit, the ultimate benefit, which the Bhagavatam is focusing on, the ultimate benefit is what the Bhagavatam is focusing on. Para Dharma is the focus of the Bhagavatam. I mean, the declaration at the beginning is, we're not going to speak of, in this literature, this Srimad Bhagavatam, we're not going to speak of the lesser dharmas, we're only going to be speaking about para dharma. So, consistent with that declaration, the ultimate benefit of the living entity is not going to be achieved by other forms of worship. And so, we don't practice them, we don't encourage them. We do encourage respect of all living entities as a subset of those living entities are parts of the Supreme Lord. But worship goes to, respect goes to everyone, worship goes to Lord Krishna or Vishnu. Because of these three, all human beings can derive ultimate benefit from Vishnu, the form of the quality of goodness. Okay, so text 24 focuses on the modes themselves. Text 23 is the object of worship that enhances and elevates one through those modes. 24 is describing the relative position of those modes, why goodness is best. Prabhupada has explained that Srimad Bhagavatam is the graduate literature in comparison to Bhagavad Gita. It's the undergraduate literature. It's the ABCs. So the idea of the modes of nature certainly is one of the very, there's more verses, there are many, many, many verses in the Bhagavad Gita about the modes of nature, clarifying how Prakriti acts upon the consciousness of the individual soul and the divisions of the modes of nature. Several chapters have real serious sections, and one whole chapter just dedicated to that. So, understanding the modes of nature is important. And in Bhagavad Gita, the mode of goodness is best. Here in this verse, in this little section, why that is so is more elaborately described. This verse, text 24, is one of them. Pārtava dāruno dhūmas tasmāt agnis trayi mayaha tamasas tu rajas tasmāt satvam yad brahma darshanam. There's the reason. Because from the mode of goodness, brahma darshanam becomes possible. Text translation. Firewood is a transformation of earth. So wood is nothing but earth, but in the form of wood it has some advantages that earth doesn't have. But smoke is better than the raw wood, and fire is still better. for by fire we can derive the benefits of superior knowledge through Vedic sacrifices. Similarly, passion, rajas, is better than ignorance, tamas, but goodness, sattva, is best because by goodness one can come to realize the absolute truth. So Vishnu worship, connecting to the previous verse, Vishnu worship is better or best because it leads to goodness, and from the position of goodness one can have Brahman realization, or Brahman darshanam. Darshanam literally means, just like a darshanam book, deity darshan, to see. And to see isn't just with the eyes to see. See, in a spiritual sense, means to realize. And realize, spiritual realization means it carries all activity. It carries mental activity, intellectual activity, and physical activity. Consciousness propels all those things. So it feeds that consciousness acting through activity, comes back, feeds upon itself, it feeds further realization. Realization strengthens. Knowledge strengthens faith, and then acting with faith brings deeper and deeper and stronger and just absorption and realization. So mode of goodness is best, and achieving that is most effective through Vishnu worship, which connects back to the process of devotional service and also connects forward to the incarnations of the Lord, which devotees of the Lord are very interested in because that's their object of worship. So hearing about the appearances of the Lord, the activities of the Lord, the qualities of the Lord, it's the subject matter and the focus of attention of devotional service. But this is the section of the process, and the process of devotional service, which brings one to the quality of goodness, that's an intermediate stage that's best, it's what we want. So, report. As explained above, one can get released from the conditional life of material existence by devotional service to the personality of Godhead. That's nice. No more material existence. By devotional service. It is further comprehended herein that one has to rise to the platform of the mode of goodness, sattva, so that one can be eligible for the devotional service of the Lord. So, goodness amongst the modes of nature is best, because one needs to come to that position of goodness before transcendence is achieved. But if there are impediments on the progressive path, anyone, even from the platform of tamas, can gradually rise to the sattva platform by the expert direction of the spiritual master. It means through the medium of devotional service, not just through the medium of different types of worship and different types of austerities and different types of sacrifices and different types of rituals. But just even the tamasic person, by guidance of a spiritual master through the medium of devotional service, can become situated in goodness by becoming a properly engaged devotee of the Lord. Sincere candidates must therefore approach an expert spiritual master for such a progressive march, and the bona fide expert spiritual master is competent to direct a disciple from any stage of life, tamas, rajas, or sattva. New paragraph. It is a mistake, therefore, to consider that worship of any quality or any form of the Supreme Personality of God is equally beneficial, except Vishnu. All separated forms are manifested under the conditions of material energy, and therefore the forms of material energy cannot help anyone to rise to the platform of sattva, which alone can liberate a person from material bondage. Final paragraph. The uncivilized state of life, or in the life of the lower animals, is controlled by the mode of tamas. The civilized life of man, with a passion for various types of material benefits, is the stage of rajas. The rajas stage of life gives a slight clue to the realization of the absolute truth in the form of finer sentiments in philosophy, art, and culture, with moral and ethical principles. But the mode of sattva is a still higher stage of material quality, which actually helps one in realizing the absolute truth. In other words, there is a qualitative difference between the different kinds of worshipping methods, as well as the respective results derived from the predominating deities of Brahma, Vishnu, and Hara. End of purport. Firewood is a transformation of earth. Smoke is better than raw wood. Fire is still better. For by fire we can derive benefits of superior knowledge through Vedic sacrifices, which fire is used for. Similarly, passion is better than ignorance, but goodness is best, because by goodness one can come to realize the absolute truth. The approach of Srimad Bhagavatam, or Bhagavad Dharma, is in some ways similar to, but in significant ways different from, the rest of the Vedic process. And it's those differences that make it difficult for people that aren't trained or aren't educated in Vaishnava principles to understand them, to respect them, to value them. They have faith, or at least they have some kind of habit of acceptance of something else. And so it's hard for people to get it, because they don't want to get it, because they're attached to something else, which, you know, they're not detached enough to look at, let's look at these two things and see what's really going to work, what's really going to be effective. How does this one work? How does that one work? how effective is this, how effective is that. Okay, now that makes sense. So they're not in a detached enough mode to carefully examine. The Bhagavatam is providing an opportunity for persons who want ultimate benefit, paradharma, and are willing to consider how that paradharma is performed, and then do that comparative analysis is being looked at carefully, and then once selecting devotional service as the supreme occupation of a living being, from reading the Bhagavatam, one can then be fortified by knowledge. This is why. Then it's not a matter of some sentiment this way or sentiment that way, because sentiment this way can be swayed and sentiment that way can be swayed. But once there's a very clear and careful, comprehensive understanding, it certainly lends support to not deviating from devotional service in the intermediate stage. And in the most advanced stage, it's one of the methods by which doubt for a more neophyte person is removed by knowledge and by realized knowledge. So going back, even if one doesn't have a thorough comprehension of Srimad Bhagavatam and the message that it presents, devotional service is nonetheless effective. It acts like the sun acts to dry wet wood. It becomes dry whether the wood understands what's going on or doesn't understand what's going on. So similarly, the person who's exposed to or is engaged in devotional service, they're getting transcendental spiritual benefit. What's going on here is those who to help us, the process of devotional service helps us become situated in goodness, which helps us to engage in devotional service more effectively by one of those features of the mode of goodness is the cultivation of knowledge and realization. Jnanam vijnanam astikam brahmagarma svabhavajam. Our purpose in hearing, reciting, carefully trying to understand the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam is not just so that we become pundits. It's to help us become readily ignited fuel for devotional service. It's part of the process of devotional service. The process of devotion. Bhagavad Dharma consists of 9 different activities. The first and foremost of them are hearing and chanting. And by that hearing and chanting, the power of discrimination is being strengthened, because the influence, the previous verses describe, the influence of ignorance and the influence of passion subside. Cheta aetaya anadvidham sitvam satve prasidati. Or just tamas rajas tamo bhava kama lobhaya vikatha vyakti hautvas anahavidham stipam satvi. Here it is. Tadara jas tamo bhava kama lobhada yashi cheta etar anahavidham stipam satvi prasidati kama lobhada yashi. So that's text 19. We started at 20. That's the process of devotional service. primarily consisting of hearing and chanting, and the various services that follow the hearing and chanting activity, reduce rajas and tamas and increase the proportionate presence of goodness. And in that proportionate increase of goodness, one feels the happiness of goodness and the mind becomes more prone to be enlivened when in contact with the subject matter of Krishna, the holy name. So our Prabhupada kept it very simple. He had a way of having very sophisticated things be very simply presented. We chant Hare Krishna trying to avoid offenses, and we follow the four regular principles. The four regular principles, they're pillars of goodness that enhance the chanting of the holy name. The pillars of goodness in and of themselves aren't, they're not spiritual. They're good, but they're not spiritual. But they're good, we follow them. It helps, motive goodness enhances devotional service, the awakening of the attraction for Krishna, the finer sentiments connected to that attraction for Krishna. And the while we're rendering our regulated activities in according to the codes of scripture, the working as obligated according to the codes of religion, the chanting activity, the hearing and chanting activity, helps the mind to go to Krishna. And the mind going to Krishna is enhanced by the atmosphere of goodness with which we live our life by, and the way that we conduct our activities. But the real jewel, the treasure that we really want, is that consciousness behind those activities. Awakening of our Krishna consciousness. So that's best enhanced by motive goodness. One who's driven by passion or sucked into the mode of ignorance, that fixing of the mind in jubilation, it's not very readily going to take place. So Prabhupada described on many occasions that what he wanted from the Krishna consciousness movement, or he wanted from us, was to create a group of first class men, women, first class persons. That's pretty self-aggrandizing. We're supposed to be, but it's not what he, it's not a prideful thing. It's an instruction thing. First class meaning Brahmins. It's not to say that the other parts of the body besides the head we can do without them. We look down upon them or like demean them in some way. It doesn't mean that, but it means without the head, the body is not going to function properly. It won't function. So there's some functions that Prabhupada wanted those who he was training, accepting as followers and students and disciples, that he wanted those persons to become. And it's not that he wanted them to become pundits. He wanted them to become first class. He wanted us to become first class persons, Brahmins. just listening to a, I listened to it three times because it was so interesting. Prabhupada had given an evening lecture in Hyderabad, and the next morning there was questions on the evening lecture. And the evening lecture, Prabhupada was saying that a person should become first-class men. And from the whole society, without the first-class men, without the eyes to see, and the brain and the head, then society is chaotic and blind. And maybe going swiftly, but in what direction? Blindly going. And then many people blindly following. Chaotic. And in this age of Kali, it leads to degradation, just swifter degradation. So what's needed is first-class men. So in the morning walk, Prabhupada was being asked, but Prabhupada, you say in this age of Kali, everyone's born less than Sudra, and then how are those persons going to become first-class men? Prabhupada's reply was by training. By this, just as he's saying here in this purport. So, supposing by occupation, it's not just the training person to become Brahmins is not the model that what everyone should do all day long is worship, chant mantras, and study scripture. And that's the Brahmin. That's one model of what a certain type of Brahmin might do, but this Panchatantrika or Bhagavat system of Brahmin means one's occupation doesn't necessarily change, but one's quality changes. One quality changes starting from accepting the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the object of worship and the goal of life and the one who I want to come to the stage of full dedication to that person. Following the principle of devotional service, the influences of, and then the behaviors and speech of Rajas and Tamas are systematically eliminated, gradually purified, and in other words, some things we just give up, some things we gradually overcome. And the quality of goodness is the mode by which we conduct our lives. It doesn't mean that someone has to stop their occupation and become a mantra chanter or a worshiper, or all you do all day long is study the scripture. But the quality of your life is the quality of goodness, which means then the intellectual group and the administrative group and the productive group and the laborer group. If someone can be a truck driver, someone can, you know, whatever it is, kind of laborer. Someone can be, you know, the repair person. And what's recommended for such, or the merchant, or the agriculturalist, or whatever the occupation is. And that activity does not need to change. But the consciousness behind the activity, for whom that activity is done, and the qualities of truthfulness, study of the scripture, compassion, the qualities become prominent because of contact with devotion to the Supreme Lord, because of bhakti. And so persons may stay in the same ashram, persons may stay in the same occupation. But daivi varnashram means still there's divisions of labor, but the prominent feature is dedication to the service of the Personality of Godhead. thereby diminishing passion and ignorance, increasing the preponderance of goodness, ushering in the experience of the transcendental relationship with the personality of Godhead and becoming enlivened and enthused in that position. Like in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, one of his dearmost associates was Kulavecchara Sridhar. Wasn't a Brahmin, wasn't a Kshatriya, was a Vaishya. But his devotion was pure, and his qualities were in complete goodness, absolute goodness, and such love for Krishna that he had, that Lord Chaitanya would go and meet with him every day. Or Haridas Thakur, born in a meat-eating family, and not of a high birth, but because of his constant chanting of the holy name, he possessed perfect achar and perfect prachar, and Lord Chaitanya accepted him as the acharya for the chanting of the holy name by his qualities, which were established by his devotion, not by his position of birth or his occupation. That's Bhagavad Dharma. So the process of worship, the object of worship, the result of carefully and properly selecting the object of worship, the promotion of the feature of goodness. So for us as devotees, the primary consideration is devotion to the personality of Godhead. Sarvadharmam parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja. But following that, ham tum sarva papebhyo moksha yashami ma shuchaha, the reactions for our past misdeeds and the tendencies for further misdeeds are eradicated. But that means there has to be an awakening. The anartha nivritti stage of bhakti is where the very strong attraction to the personality of Godhead empowers us to become rid. Krishna is the empower, and Krishna does the ridding, to rid the heart of unwanted things and the influence of the lower modes of nature, or those unwanted things induced by some other thing, induced by the lower modes. It's being controlled, the tendency to be controlled by those lower modes of nature. There's a stronger spiritual strength that diminishes that, just like the presence of light diminishes darkness. When we were reading that little excerpt about St. Thomas Aquinas' life, the Catholic Church has some similar idea. He presented something in the Catholic Church, said, this is our doctrine, this is what we believe in. Something similar to what I just said, that evil or bad or sin is but the absence of goodness. And so that which promotes goodness, that's our religion. So doing good things then becomes the religion, or to unfortunately to a certain degree eclipsing God, or the standard of what is really the standard of goodness, is is devotion to God. It's not all the way gone there by the by that teaching, but it certainly it's our material problem. Our material problem is forgetting our relationship with God. It's not failing to be good and being bad instead. It's forgetfulness of our relationship with God. So Bhagavad Dharma is directly focusing upon that. I want to communicate this clearly and strongly, that as devotees, it then becomes our responsibility to be representative of goodness. In other words, does it make sense to be devoted to God and to be harsh, or to be angry, or to be unclean, or to be abusive, etc.? Does it fit? It's wrong. So it's our responsibility. The message I want to make is we shouldn't put the second thing, the cart before the horse. We should put the horse first, and that pulls the cart. And the cart is the quality of goodness. Goodness in our speech and behavior, our eating, our work, how we interact with people, our relationships, the things that, you know, being compassionate, being sensitive, being kind, being thoughtful of the feelings of others. That's what a devotee does, those things because they're a devotee. It's incumbent upon us to cultivate those things to please Krishna. And this message is, I have some specific ideas to discuss that relates to this, what I just said, in the course of the weekend. So you'll hear more of this one. Any comments?
Maharaj, this mode of goodness, is it anywhere different from doing charity, being kind to others? Because people might argue that they also go into charitable organizations, social service, they may also argue that they are also situated in a mode of goodness. So they also get the ultimate benefit by performing the devotional service.
Are you confused?
Yeah.
You are. Let me see if I can unconfuse you. It's not the activity, it's the consciousness behind the activity. The mode of goodness is mixed with passion and ignorance. The mode of unalloyed goodness that's being discussed here, there's no mixture. Should I say some more? I'll say some more. Our position is the mode of goodness is good. The mode of goodness is not transcendence. The mode of goodness binds one to birth and death in the material world. So that's not good. Transcendence liberates one from birth and death in the material world. That's transcendentally good. And beyond the transcendentally good of no more birth and death is the loving attraction for the personality and Godhead. That's supreme good. So through charitable works, one will not necessarily develop loving attraction for the personality of Godhead. Or one will not necessarily become free from the cycle of birth and death. Do people who are situated in transcendence do acts of goodness? Of course. The essence of the transcendentalist is not the acts of goodness that they do. It's not what makes that person, using the buzz phrase, spiritual. Yes.
So my understanding is one has to have a lot of patience for that. How to cultivate patience?
Yeah. You don't have a choice, right? Because it doesn't happen by you stamping your foot. It happens by Krishna's mercy. So you have to be patient. Krishna is the empowerer. If Krishna wants, he can empower you like that. If Krishna wants, it's going to take some time. If our hearts were sufficiently pure, like Katvanga Maharaj, boom. And then we wouldn't take the credit for it. But if our hearts are, use the phrase, polluted with fruitive intention, then we get the empowerment. We think, just see, I did it. I can do so many things, and this is just another one of those so many things that just like that I can do. I just want to just. So the empowerment doesn't come right away because that taint of fruitive intention, contaminant of fruitive intention. Krishna wants to clear our heart of the fruitive intention, not just to achieve something. He wants us to achieve something. What he wants is the purity of heart. So the good quality may take some time. Especially good quality that doesn't waver, depending upon circumstance. You know, what mood I'm in. But just, it's consistent because it's the spirit, the Krishna connection is so strong. There are other ways of saying the same thing, but they boil down to that. For a seed to develop into a tree, to develop full mature fruits, or does it take some time? Take some time. That's nature's way. But I want that's primitive. We want the fruit. I don't want to appreciate the beauty of how Krishna orchestrates things within his creation. But that's part of the beauty. And another way of saying the same thing is, how many lifetimes have we been with our eyes closed going in the wrong direction? Is there responsibility for that or not? So if I have to pay the price for that irresponsible action, I'm ready. If the fact that Krishna has accepted me in his devotional service, I'm so grateful. Let me just stay grateful. And the purpose of developing those qualities is to please Krishna. It's not. Now I'm saying the same thing. It's not to achieve something. I get 5 gold stars after my name because I achieved another something. I get rewarded. People recognize, oh. So it's not for that purpose. It's to please Krishna. So I don't have a choice but to be patient, because it's all on Krishna's terms. He knows what's best for me and I trust him. If it takes 5 seconds, or it takes 5 minutes, or it takes 5 years, or it takes 5 lifetimes, or it takes however long it takes, Krishna's timetable, it's not whimsical. Krishna's just testing me, just to see, you know, how long can you take it? It's not like that. We don't have a choice, maybe a gentler and sweeter way of saying is Krishna is a very loving master, and he is the master, and we are the servant. Like the training in the Prabhupada, we repeat over and over and over. I mean, I've heard it 800 times. When, if the spiritual, the student, on behalf of his spiritual master, goes to gather some grains and items and gives them to the teacher as dakshina, and the wife of the teacher prepares the meal and calls the students for the meal. And if the student is not called for their meal, they fast. Have you heard that? What's the meaning of that? The meaning is, everything belongs to my spiritual master. Everything. It's not because I went out and collected it. Hey, what's going on here? I went out and collected all this stuff, and you're eating very nicely. What about, we're kids. Cook it ourselves instead of giving it to you. But, you know, that's not the training. The training is the training of dependence. The training of respect. And there's many dimensions to that. When one, from childhood, becomes an adult, and now I have skills, I have adult skills, and I can not just go gather grains from my spiritual master, I can earn money. It's mine, because I earned it. But it's not mine, because I learned that principle from childhood. So, as with work, and then the fruits of work, what about our brahminical work? The subtle work. I've worked. I deserve the fruits of my work. That's not the right mentality. As the spiritual master may not call the student for his meal, Krishna may not say, okay, here's your quality. You worked for it. Here it is. He's the master. And it means it in real terms. It's on his, it's, it, when we surrender to Krishna, it's a phrase that I've grown to appreciate over a period of time. When you surrender to Krishna, one of the things that the surrenderer needs to understand, it's on Krishna's terms. That's one of the core things that patience teaches. He wants you to have those qualities more than you want. But that quality should be something that's he wants, that it's something that's sustainable and durable, and it's not conditional, like conditional based upon I want it now. It will come. Success is guaranteed for he who strives by right means. So this is right along the lines of one of the themes that I want to speak about this weekend. But the investing in the relationship with Krishna, that's the essence, that's the seed that brings all other things. What's wanted is that relationship with Krishna. You're investing in that relationship with Krishna. And from that one thing, all other things will come for sure. And may come quickly, may come after some time, may come much later, but for sure it will come. And I trust in Krishna. Doesn't mean, okay, now I can take it easy. That's specifically one of the topics, this evening's topic. Enthusiasm, sustained enthusiasm in selfless service. That's the theme, that's the topic. Because it's for Krishna's pleasure. So to get on that platform, that's the part of Dharma platform. It's not the contractual platform. It's good to want those qualities. That part's not the problem. But to want them so that you can come before Krishna and there's a big smile. Krishna is pleased. And you feel, wow, Krishna is pleased. It's not because I got this quality. It's that Krishna is pleased. And so some qualities may come more quickly and some more slowly, because some we can handle and some, you know, Krishna's got another plan for us for purification. Namely, for example, understanding patience. Okay, you're the master. I'm going to serve you unconditionally. And I know that you want me to have this quality, and it's not happening. That means I'm standing in the way from it. Something in me is standing in the way from that happening. And you want me to sort that out. Okay. I'm ready. Because you want this, not just I want this. And all of your representatives in the Pacific succession, they want it too. Let's take this one statement. Prabhupada wanted his followers to become first class. And I'm not there. I want to please you. So I have to be patient. I have to, and sustained enthusiasm while being patient is based upon I have firm conviction in the process and faith in the dispenser of the fruits of that process, Krishna. I trust in Krishna. Right? Be patient. Anything else?
In the class, we were saying that while making material decisions, the person who is detached makes different kind of decisions than a person who is completely attached. How he makes decisions? Can you explain a bit further on that? How is it different, and what does a detached person consider?
The attached person is thinking, me. That's the attached person, or mind, and because it's an extension of me. And the detached person is thinking, what would Krishna want? What's the lesson here? What would be pleasing to Krishna? And it's not always easy to sort it out, but that's the contemplation. So the contemplation, what will please Krishna, is not the quickest, shortest, snappiest, get there, get the thing, and enjoy it. Path. Please Krishna. Whatever it takes. And then I can be patient because it may take multiple steps to get to that, but that's okay. Because it will please Krishna. At least one can be in that space or that place where that contemplation is happening. It's a characteristic of goodness, reflecting rather than just jumping impulsively. You consider the right means, you consider the consequences. If I do it this way, if I do it that way, how will people be impacted, have sensitivity for others. It's a quality of goodness. And Krishna can guide the person who's in that quality of goodness to act in such a way not only the result comes, but it's most pleasing. And many other purposes can simultaneously be accomplished by Krishna steering and guiding. But the person who's attached, that's they're not in that space. I want. And then anger and frustration if it doesn't happen fast enough. Or a different outcome. Or I get the outcome and then it vaporizes. Or someone steals it. Or gets destroyed. Anger. Frustration. Something else? You wanted to follow up on that? You had your on your discussion? You're okay. Huh?
Your lecture answered so many questions I had, so thank you for that.
Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.